you are always with us. And we just pray that we would hear a message from you to us this morning. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, very often we're talking in during Lent about hope, and that's a big topic. But very often we reduce hope to it's a feeling or an emotion. Very often, I think it's sort of we could also substitute it for a sort of optimism or wishful thinking, or you know, almost just being lucky. Things have turned out how we wanted them to do. But that's a rather shallow definition to what we'd understand as Christian hope that we're looking at during Lent. My focus this morning really is going to be looking at the reading we had from John. So if you want to have a look, it's there in John chapter 11. So we had just one small part. And as Catherine said, yes, ... because the story does go on. There's more before our reading and more afterwards. And you can always have a look at it at another time just to see where our short section fits into the bigger story of Jesus' visit to Lazarus in Bethany. But there's more to it, because we hear right at the beginning that the sisters sent word to Jesus saying, "Lord, the one you love is ill." So there's something that's happened before. They already know each other, and Lazarus is someone that Jesus loves as well as his sisters. Now, one of the sayings we often quote is, "Where there's life, there's hope." We don't have that in this situation here, do we? Because Lazarus has been dead for 4 days by now. So if "where there's life is hope" meant anything, there was no hope now. He's well and truly gone. And this is one of the stories where women play a significant role. Even 2,000 years ago, in probably what was much more of a male-dominated society than ours, John gives a woman a really key part in the story. Because in fact, she speaks for almost any one of us as well. He's late arriving, and so she says to him, there are probably many sort of tones of voice you could put to it, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. If." And how many times when something goes wrong do we say, if only I had done this, if only I hadn't, if only. And it almost sums up a sense of powerlessness. We just can't do anything, and we can't change or undo what had or hadn't happened in the past. And probably each one of us has had that sense of hopelessness. Whatever good could have been done, doesn't matter, the chance is gone. But Martha doesn't seem to be like that. Because, yes, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But she goes on. And this is where I think she is giving an example of hope, because she then says, "But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." What a confidence she has to be able to say, "I know." How on earth can she say that after losing her brother 4 days ago? Is she just deluding herself? Is she being over-optimistic? Wishful thinking in the extreme. And she says, "I know that even now, I know." You think, well, how could she say this? And as Catherine would often say, the answer to the question is... Oh, thank you. Lindsay listens to Catherine. Hooray. The answer's always Jesus. That's right, it's because she is talking to Jesus. And it's because she knows Jesus, she has that confidence. She knows him and she trusts him. And I think knowledge and trust are a good grounds for hope. And that can be true for Martha, and it can be true for you and me as well. But then on the other hand, it's perfectly normal for us to feel anxious or fearful when we look at the world around us. It's just part of being human. It's just part of what we are. But as Christians, whatever else, we can still have hope if we know Jesus. And knowing Jesus is a more solid foundation than how I feel about anything. So Martha's trust is based on who Jesus is, what she knows about him, and his identity. Probably the heart of our reading are in those what Jesus says, because we get another one of the I am sayings of Jesus. Now for many of us, particularly if in ministry, they're words that you'd say almost without thinking, if you have a lot of funerals, because it's often what you open a funeral service with. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Sometimes we say them as words of comfort, but they're words of comfort because they're words of hope. Because of the funeral service, we know what lies awaiting. There's a grave in the churchyard, or the curtains are going to shut at the crematorium. And yet in the face of all that, we're talking about life, not death. It's an opportunity for express together our hope based on the promises of Jesus. Not to deny the reality of grief and loss, but despite that, we find hope and trust in our Lord Jesus. Now, another question for you. So Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. And it goes on at the end, whoever lives by believing in me will never die. But at the funeral service, we leave something out. What was it we leave out? What did Jesus say immediately after those words? Believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Oh my goodness, Church of England, that's a bit direct and confrontational. Whoa. We don't do that sort of thing. Way too direct. That's in your face. But Jesus asks Martha, because it's important, do you believe this? And then we hear her response. And surely she's speaking for all of us in her response. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world. So I'm going to be direct and confrontational. Do you believe this?
Yes.
Hallelujah. See, we're so Church of England, we don't answer back or talk back, do we? But that's it. And I wholeheartedly pray that we do all share those words of Martha. And if you're not sure, do talk to me or Catherine or someone afterwards if you want to have that assurance as well. Because how we answer that question's the foundation for everything else, really. See, so often we talk about hope in the sense of it's the fulfillment of what I want, my desires and wishes. But Christian hope is really looking at Jesus and the promises of God, his faithfulness to the promises he makes. You could probably have a whole series for a whole year or more looking at the promises that Jesus makes. And the assurance is not just wishful thinking. It's because we have the reality of the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. He went to the cross and he rose again on Easter Sunday. And I was saying to someone earlier, at the earlier service, about Lent and what we can and can't have during the earlier service. And I said, for me, I'm speaking personally, I'm not trying to upset anyone, every Sunday for me is a celebration of the resurrection. So for me, every Sunday is a hallelujah day, even if we're not meant to say hallelujah in the Church of England during Lent. Hallelujah. But we are offered a hope that we see with Martha and Mary that's not weakened by adversity or difficulty. Actually, it grows through difficult times. And I was going to quote something from Ephesians, but I had another verse in mind. And I went to someone's house the other day, and they gave me a mug of coffee. And I talked about mugs of coffee back in January. And it started off with this, it was the very thing I was going to read to you. We boast in the hope of the glory of God. And I thought, oh, perhaps God does want me to share these verses. It's on the mug, after all. From Paul, we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. So hope isn't put out because it's a cloudy day. It's easy to be hopeful, feel hopeful on a sunny day. Christian hope flourishes in difficulty and adversity. So during Lent, there are many things we can do. But for me, the Christian faith is about relationships, my relationship with Jesus and my Father God. So for me, Lent is not about rules and rituals or things like that. It's an opportunity to deepen my relationship with God. And so as I'm reflecting on hope and trust, I thought I'd just offer a few suggestions that might help you. I spoke earlier about it. It's about the promises of Jesus, the promises that we find. And we find them in the Bible. So I think during Lent it's worth spending time with God's Word to see what the promises are, to look at the lives of people who have lived in the hope of those promises, and also seeing how God is faithful to those promises. And that'll help me find assurance as well. Secondly, I suggest prayer is a good way. If it's relationships, prayer is a way to engage and connect with God. A chance to say, Lord, this is difficult. I've got all these difficulties going on in my life. Assure me of your presence. We sang about it, you are with me. Give me a sign that you are with me. And I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. But the third one, not treading on Catherine's toes, is about togetherness. She's going to talk about together next week, so I'm not going to say too much about we are here for one another. And there is a way in which we can encourage and support one another. So in a moment, I want to play a song, and I want to explain why I wanted to have it. We had some friends coming to dinner a little while ago now, and I was in the kitchen by myself, or so I thought. Ali had gone upstairs to get dressed or changed or whatever women do. And so I was downstairs. I like to be a man in a kitchen. I like cooking. I like getting things ready. So anyway, I was going to lay the table. So I was getting the drawer out. And I wasn't alone because I had Alexa with me. Now, you might know my friend Alexa. She sits on the counter. And as I was getting things out, I hadn't said a word. But all of a sudden, I could hear something. And I thought, where's this music? Where's this music coming from? And for some reason, Alexa started to play a song. And I thought, why have you done that? And I thought, what is it you're playing? And then I saw it, because it said on the screen, "Praise you in this storm by casting crowns." And I thought, I've never heard this song before. It's not on any playlist I've had. Later, it's worth looking at the story behind the song. And I thought, why do I want to know about praising God in this storm? And then I thought, oh, actually, the friends who are coming, they are going through a tremendous time of trial. They were just in a tunnel and didn't know if there was any light at the end or anything. They felt very lonely, isolated. And I thought, oh, perhaps it's a message for them, when I sort of listened to what the song was saying. So you'll see it in a moment, because one of the lyrics in the chorus says, "As the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you." I thought perhaps they needed to know that however bad things are, the Lord is with them. And if there's nothing else we can do, no way we can see how this is going to work out, what we can do is praise God. Not saying everything's going to be all right, it's all going to work out as we hope, but all we can do is just keep offering up praise to God. So I want to play that song in a moment, but if it's a song you know or don't know, I just encourage you to think about the question that Jesus asked Martha, "Do you believe this?" And ask that of yourself during the playing of the song. So we're going to play the song and I'll get down.
Away, and I'll praise you. to the